From KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is Aircheck, a new show about great music from the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell, producer at KRCC.
I'm Vicki Greger, music director at KRCC.
And I'm Jeff Beery, big guy, big voice, program director and host of the Blue Plate Special.
If you've ever been to KRCC and seen the 20,000 CDs in our filing cabinets and the 20,000 records in our vinyl vault, then you know that we're serious about music here. Think of Aircheck as a showcase for all the incredible music that lives at KRCC. We'll introduce you to things you may have missed, take a closer look at genres and artists we think you'll love, and invite local and touring musicians into the studio for exclusive interviews and in-studio performances. On today's show, you'll hear an interview with Colorado Springs hip-hop duo The Reminders, an in-studio performance by blues musicians Grant Sabin and Jesse Cottonstone. And Jeff, Vicki, and I will share some of our favorite new releases from the past few months. All that today on Aircheck. So I'm here in the studio with Vicki Greger, music director at KRCC, and Jeff Beery, program director at KRCC. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jake.
Thanks for curating this.
Talking about music, my favorite thing.
So for the first segment of the first episode of Aircheck, we're going to share some of the music that's been stuck in our heads for the last few months. So we'll be talking new releases, some from new artists, some from artists that have been around a while, but all of it's stuff that we're super excited about. So we'll take turns, go around the table, and each of us will share two songs. Sound good?
Sounds good, Jake.
I am very excited.
All right, so let's just jump right into this, and let's start with you, Vicki, and tell us what is a song that you've been really loving the last few months here.
So, Jake, a song that I've been loving quite a bit is the song Back Channels from Shearwater. And Shearwater is one of those bands that KRCC has been playing for quite a few years now. Started in 1999 at Shearwater. And Back Channels is on the new one, Jet Plane and Oxbow. And it's just one of those wonderful Shearwater songs that starts with a lovely melody and builds and builds and twists and turns and lyrically complex. So yeah, that struck me right away playing that new record. It was that song that leapt out at me.
When you whistle down the world, when you need to talk with your
Oh, the production is just lovely. I mean, including Triangle. He's very, he orchestrates everything. It's just lovely music.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. This picks up where Talk Talk left off. And there's also some wonderful guitar work in there that reminds me of the Catherine Wheel, you know. It builds and gets, and it rocks a little bit. We've really become sort of familiar with Jonathan Myberg's vocals, you know. He's really been the signature of Shearwater, but this, the guitar work on this, I think, really is rich, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's the Talk Talk component to me is, it has that sort of jangly, slightly off kilter, but yet it's driving at the same time. And kind of propels you forward, but keeps you a little bit off balance.
Oh, that's very well put. You know, if you think of a Talk Talk record that reminds me the most of Shearwater, it's that Spirit of Eden, which was their masterpiece, really.
I love that guitar. I love it.
That's nice. Well, I think Jeff and I, do we both agree? Thumbs up
thumbs
on that
up.
One.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
All right, Jeff, let's pass it to you.
So my first favorite song in the show today is by a guy named Bob Amall. And Bob Amall has had this rich 27-year history of producing Afropop. This song that we're going to play is Afropop at its finest, in my opinion. He's a Senegalese artist. He's from Senegal. And he's had 17 albums over the course of his career so far. He's shown up in films. He provided some music for Black Hawk Down, which was set in East Africa. He's just a really talented guy. And this song is called Kalajo. And the intro to this song, I think, is just transcendent. It is such a beautiful Afropop melody. And I just think it's a beautiful, beautiful Afropop song.
All right, let's take a listen. So the song is called Kalajo, Bob Amall, and the album is The Traveler.
I think his music greatly influenced people like Peter Gabriel. So the African sound really influenced in the 90s the whole Luwaka Bop, Real World releases, and had this impact on Western music, you know, and I think this really typifies that.
Yeah, I love that right in that intro there, just how you can tell how closely the guitar is mic'd, and you can hear just his finger kind of scraping along the strings, and interesting, it gives it this kind of percussive element amidst sort of what is otherwise just an acoustic guitar kind of melody. Yeah.
And I think that's why Bob Amall is remixed and reimagined a lot. I mean, he showed up on Thievery Corporation's Abductions and Reconstructions. 6 Degrees Records has their Traveler series where they take world music and add some DJ stuff and remix to it, and he comes up a lot.
We've probably heard him more than we realize. Yeah, he's really been prolific in these past 27 years.
Cool. Well, I love it.
Mm-hmm, I agree. I agree, Jeff. Beautiful selection.
So the first song I would like to play is by an artist who is from the vicinity of my hometown, Twin Cities area, Minnesota. He is from St. Paul. His name is Alan Kingdom, and he's 22 years old, rapper, singer. He's been around for a little while, been making music since about 2011, but he released an album in 2014 that got a little bit of traction, but was very much kind of a low budget production. And then in 2015, he kind of took off because he was pulled in by Kanye West to play on a song called All Day, which has subsequently been nominated for 2 Grammys, I think.
Oh, wow.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him.
And that's Kanye West is sort of known for taking proteges and sort of making them stars. And I think we're at this point in Alan Kingdom's career where it's still sort of an open question, like, is he going to be a star? He just released this new album. I guess it's technically a mixtape, but it's called Northern Lights. And really catchy, really interesting. And I will just play a track from it. This song is called Fables, and it features another artist called Chronix. And so this is from Northern Lights, Alan Kingdom.
Don't tell no fables.
Don't tell no fables.
If you able.
If you able.
When I was younger. I went to church and that shit done, son. Don't tell no fables. Don't tell no fables. Don't tell no fables. Don't tell no fables.
Don't
tell no fables.
labels, now I'm able. I know, can't hit every note. Yeah, I know, but I hit that feeling that be deep up in your soul. I don't tell no fables. I don't care what you promote. I don't care what's in your store. No, tell no fables. You hit me with them lies. I swear it's not a surprise. Ooh, don't tell no fables. Don't tell no fables.
Oh, I have to comment on this. My first thought was, guys who are maybe a little more popular or well-known on top 40 hip-hop stations, and I'm thinking Fetty Wap and Weeknd might be paying attention to this, but the production, for him to take auto-tune and voices, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, is that an oboe? What is he doing? It really blew me away, the complexity of the tapestry of this song.
Yeah, I agree. And something about, to me as well, just the timbre of his voice, the way he kind of can sort of growl and do this gravelly thing and sort of slip between notes in this way that's really interesting. I think he's... it doesn't register as immediately as maybe technically proficient as someone like The Weeknd, who's mm-hmm. got almost like a Michael Jackson
exactly.
sound. But he is doing really interesting melodic things, I think, with the voice that he does have.
You know, speaking of the voice, I'm listening to the lyrics, surprise, surprise, and he's talking about Don't Tell No Fables. I think that opens up this whole idea for me of being real and being, you know, being present. And I think that's such a cool message to relay.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I think we can expect great things from Alan Kingdom. I think he's going to be around for a while, and I think he's just going to continue to surge. So
you say, don't tell no fables. I'm gonna learn the truth one day.
All right, Vicky, back to you.
Well, this is one of those. I think I went beautiful on this one. You know, I think I've already revealed to some listeners that I just love that beautiful stuff. And this was one of the records that crossed the desk. Not a lot of promotion around it. Rufus Du Sol. And this is a bunch of young Australians who are probably known as a dance/house music kind of collective. They had to add the Du Sol because Rufus, as in Rufus featuring Chaka Khan from back in the day, sent them a strongly worded letter saying, you can't have that name. The song is called Brighter, and it's from their brand new record. It's their second full album. They have a bunch of singles and EPs, and that's called Bloom, but the song, Brighter.
You said you don't love me like that. I'm stuck here standing in the rain. You said I don't need you like that. But I do, but I do. I'm telling that song to come back. Your figure fading in the gray. Blue skies don't tease me like that. Like you do, like you do. I'm feeling like the world's about to change. When hummingbirds are singing in the rain. Dreaming that I'm standing in the light.
I'm telling you, Bob Moses, Alt-J, if they had a baby, yeah. It would be Rufus Du Sol.
Nice pick. Is the rest of the album that good?
Oh, I'm working my way through, but yeah, I've pulled a couple other songs, and I'm like, oh, yes. Yeah,
Is that the first cut?
Is how they opened the record.
Yeah,
it's
of
like,
course.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good music coming out of Australia these days. Oh, yeah. Think about Tame Impala,
mm-hmm.
Courtney Barnett. I'm thinking of Hiatus Coyote.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I think there's a moment happening in Australia, or maybe it's just that the rest of the world is just decided to paying attention.
Yeah. I can't wait to play some Rufus Du Sol, Rufus with umlauts, Du Sol.
Make it brighter for me when that song comes.
Jeff, on to you.
On to me. So the second tune that I've picked is a tune from G Love. Vicky handed me this CD. It was hot off the presses. G Love is this interesting guy. He's out of Philadelphia. And I first became aware of G Love back in the early 90s when Epic Records released G Love and Special Sauce out on the OK record label. Remember this?
I do.
Epic Records revived the old OK record label, which was a blues record label back in the 20s and 30s, and it had this wonderful graphic with it.
The label's wonderful.
And G Love was adding this new life to blues, and so he combines folk and blues with hip-hop. And it took blues in this new direction, and I think this continues with that, and there are a lot of great guest artists on this new CD. So, yeah, it's a great tune. It's moving blues in a new direction. I think we need more of that, and we need more youngsters out there doing things with an American genre of music that's gotten kind of stuck in a barroom presentation, you know.
So this is G Love and Special Sauce from Love Saves the Day, and the song is called Diss Song.
Is it rock? Is it blues? Is it funk? Is it rap? What the hell is it? That's what I like about
G-Love. He brings it all, and he's always flirted with all these different styles, but always within this blues kid out of Philadelphia model. It reminds me of another thing that you really liked. You're a big fan of J.D. McPherson,
and I
can feel, you know, that rockabilly creeping in. I can certainly hear the blues. I see him with his, you know, scarf tied around his head, his little drug helmet on, and that's G Love.
Diss Song is a diss song.
Yep. It's funny because I, in my mind, G Love and Special Sauce, I equate them with kind of like a more mellow college stoner sound, and this isn't like that. And I have to say, I am much more a fan of this G Love than of the sort of
stoner
college rap,
yeah,
acoustic rap.
Me too.
G Love. All right, so the last song is my second pick here, which is a song actually by a local band, which I'm excited about. And this band is called Millicent, and it's actually, that's just the performance name used by Emily Nur, who writes and produces all this music herself. And it's really good. It's I think for Colorado Springs, it's a genre that you don't hear much of.
I agree.
Which is a sort of electro pop. There's a kind of loungy vibe that sort of is reminiscent to me of the band Rye, if you remember mm-hmm. them from a couple years ago, that album Woman. So really great. And this album came out, it's an EP actually. It came out on December 31st. And I'm just going to play the first song, which is kind of the single from this EP. And it's called Say You Want Me.
I'm getting tired of pretending you care. I'm running out of excuses for why you're never there. Why do I tell myself there's only you? Why do I doubt myself when you walk into the room? All the fear. You say you want me.
Yay, Colorado Springs, man. That is...
It's impressive.
Really good, yeah.
It's impressive. And the video that goes with this, beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully done. Her voice, I got that whole Bonobo, Andrea Triana kind of vibe. And not to always assign somebody else to your own talent, but it just lays in that beautiful place. She is an incredible vocalist.
I think what you're saying, Vicky, is it stands up to national talent.
Absolutely.
And international talent.
It's definitely got legs, I think. It's just got a very contemporary sound.
It's sophisticated.
Production is really good. And it's, to me, it's just funny because I hadn't heard of Millicent. I didn't really know that this was going on. And then all of a sudden it just kind of popped onto my radar. But so it's always funny to me when a band comes out of the woodwork in a place that sometimes feels as small as Colorado Springs does. And, to hear it and think, wow, who would have thought that this was going on here?
Yeah, I totally agree. And we have lots of talent in Colorado Springs. That's a given. But there is... This woman brings Sade to the table. This woman brings...
Beautiful voice.
Really
beautiful voice.
Something that is above and beyond. It's more...
Agreed.
Yeah, so definitely an artist to watch. All right, so that wraps up our inaugural favorite song discussion roundtable. So when we come back, we will have more, including an interview with Grant Sabin and Jesse Cottonstone. So stay tuned, we'll be right back. Won't you say- Welcome back to Aircheck, a new show about great music from the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell, producer at KRCC.
I'm Jeff Beery, program director and host of the Blue Plate Special.
And I'm Vicky Greger, music director and host of the Morning Music Mix.
So, Jeff, the second segment of our show comes from an episode of the Blue Plate Special, your daily blues show here on KRCC. And this is an excerpt from a live interview and in-studio performance that you did with local blues musicians Grant Sabin and Jesse Cottonstone. So why don't you introduce these guys?
These guys, Jesse and Grant, are a couple of local musicians, two youngish guys. I'm not going to say they're teenagers anymore, although met Grant when he was a young boy here in Colorado Springs playing the blues. Jesse's been around for a long time, too. These guys have recorded albums, and they're out touring. And the thing I like about Jesse and Grant is they're full-time musicians. They don't have day jobs. They are musicians dedicating their lives to their music. And it was really a pleasure to have them come into the KRCC studios one snowy Friday afternoon, I think it was. And this was in preface to a show that they were going to play later that night at Stargazers. And we got to hear him live on air, and it was a lot of fun.
All right, well, let's take a listen to that.
Happy to welcome into the studio Grant Sabin and Jesse Cottonstone. Fellas, thanks for braving the weather.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having us.
For sure.
Kind of a tricky situation out there with the roads, but hopefully worth the effort to get to Stargazers tonight. A blues review with you two fellas, is that correct?
Yeah.
When did this collaboration happen with you two? You played a gig a little while back at Union Station. Was that the first time you guys been playing? How long you guys been playing together?
Yeah, we did that show with the two of us and Mike Nelson before the Bill Hall and Matt Perry show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. We've both been playing around here for about 20 years.
I know. You guys are both natives to the area.
It only made sense to me that we would be doing some stuff together at a certain point.
How's it working out?
Naturally happen.
It's great. It's Jesse does every Tuesday, plays at Alchemy over in Old Colorado City. So I started going over there on Tuesdays and hanging out. And every time I go to one of Jesse's shows, he's like, "You got your guitar with you?" So we ended up doing some jamming a little bit.
All right.
Yeah, it's fun.
And Grant, you say you're working on a new album?
Yeah, working on getting ready to put things together to start working on that. I think we're going to try to have that ready by May and probably release it in July. So,
will there be any collaboration with you two on your album, Graham?
Possibly. We'll see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still fluid. And you just handed me three new tracks.
Got
Jesse?
Three new tracks. I'm working on a new cut called Fires and Floods. It can be heard on cottonstonemusic.com as
right.
well.
Cool.
Some samplers and stuff.
So what are you guys going to play today? You both got your acoustics out.
This is kind of how it is at the live show. We're just looking at each other today. Like, what do you want to play? I don't know. What do you want? Why don't you do one? All right.
Well, let's hear what you come up with. We've got Grant Sabin and Jesse Cottonstone in the studio this evening. 91.5 KRCC. It's the Blue Plate Special, the Finally Friday Blue Plate Special, by the way. Could you guys do a little jamming for us together here this afternoon?
Yeah, something we could do? Great.
Totally.
Yeah.
Let's hear you play off each other. I'd like to hear that.
Where not?
You want to do...
You want to mess around with that one?
We could, yeah. Might as well.
Now, let's do some RL.
Let's do some RL.
Cool.
We're already in a tuning for it.
Gone with you, babe. gone down south, gone down south.
Grant Sabin and Jesse Cotton Stone live on air here at KRCC, the Friday afternoon Blue Plate special. Acoustic guitar from Jesse Cotton Stone. I've only seen you play a couple of times, Jesse, and it's been electric. And, you know, I was almost surprised not to see you light your guitar on fire and do the Jimi Hendrix thing there.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets the electric thing gets pretty wild for you.
That's my thing. Yeah, I mean, that was my first inspiration to start learning how to play guitar was when I heard Jimi Hendrix on a road trip. We were doing the carnival circuit, my father and I, when I was a kid.
You played with your dad?
I didn't play with him. He was my manager when I was really young, you know, the legal guardian status, getting in the clubs and all that. But he was, my family were, you know, carnival circuit crew. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, I grew up traveling on the road like that and was exposed to a lot of the blues culture in that, you know, context.
Yeah.
Traveling from town to town and wandering into barbecues and juke joints and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I first heard Jimi Hendrix and that inspired me to start learning how to play. And I learned from that he learned that, you know, from these old school guys way back. And so that's where I really started getting
exposed. How old are you? You mind me asking?
I'm 32 now.
Yeah. So you've been playing most all your life.
Yeah, since I was about 10 years old.
Very cool. It's great to see you guys sitting next to each other. Grant, yeah, it's been 4 years since you put out Anthro Musicology?
I think it was 3 years on December 14th this past year. It's time again.
It's time
for another one. Yeah.
And you're going to get back to your blues roots, you're saying, with this next one. Anthromusicology ventured into some other areas.
Totally, yeah. I've always been writing blues songs and stuff, and all of those songs that were on Anthromusicology were songs I wrote by myself as blues songs, really. But, you know, I was hanging out with the guys from Brefo. I was playing in Brefo back then, and all those guys have this really kind of insane, awesome energy, like a psychedelic kind of rock and roll vibe to him. And, you know, so that whole record was really heavily influenced by Daniel James Eaton and Alex Koshak and Sam Erickson and Chris Davis and all the people that were involved with the Full Moon band, you know. And then now I'm just kind of doing solo stuff, and I also play with Jesse's band sometimes.
Are you guys writing songs together at all, or
we've been doing some grooves together and like writing, like just when we jam together and stuff, we'll come up with some stuff and then kind of be like, oh, like that was cool, we should try recording that or something. Like,
yeah, we were up in my studio the other night after we were at Alchemy just getting down improvising on this song, and then we decided to go back to my spot afterward and record it. And
cool.
I was just listening back to it yesterday. It sounds really good.
Nice.
All right, I flipped a coin. It looks like you're going out with the last tune, Jesse. Can you do that?
Can Grant sit in with
Absolutely.
Me on
Love
this?
Love to have that.
You want to play with me on
this? Yeah. Come on, friend, play.
All right, we're going to do this one, I guess. Thank you.
kitchen, baby.
I'm hearing some like high desert blues, African high desert blues and that stuff.
Tantric blues.
Roll into that. What's going on? And Ali Farkatoure.
Yeah, Ali Farkatoure in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Sounds
you guys.
A lot just like the Hill Country blues to me.
It does. Yeah. Get some, throw in some John Lee Hooker, some old acoustic John. Good stuff, you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for coming in. We look forward to these new projects you're working on. This sounded beautiful, this last piece. I hope that's included somewhere, someplace.
Yeah, I think
we'll probably do a single or something.
Yeah, nice. Just put it out very for nice.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go off of something off of this old standard.
Cool.
Yeah. This is Devil Music, 91.5. Grant Sabin, Jesse Cotton Stone. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
No, thank you.
Thanks again for having us. Love your show.
That was Jeff Bury speaking with local blues artists Grant Sabin and Jesse Cotton Stone. You can hear that interview and performance again at krcc.org. You're listening to Air Check from KRCC. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Air Check, a new show about great music from the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell, producer at KRCC.
I'm Jeff Bury, program director and host of the Blue Plate Special.
And I'm Vicki Greger, music director and host of the Morning Music Mix.
So, Vicki, our final segment comes from you, and I'll just let you introduce it here.
Okay. Well, I recently had the great privilege of speaking with Asia Black and Big Samir, the husband and wife duo that make up The Reminders. Now, The Reminders are a hip-hop group out of Colorado Springs that have been making music for almost a decade. They've released two excellent records, Recollect and Born Champions, and they've performed with hip-hop heavyweights like Snoop Dogg, Nas, Lauryn Hill, Mos Def, and many, many others. Really, an example of a local band that is making it on a national stage. I had them into the studio to talk about their career, how they came together, and this was fun, some of their musical influences, guilty pleasures, and the music that is playing in their house right now.
All right, well, let's take a listen. This is Vicki Greger speaking with The Reminders.
And you know, you can count on me.
Asia Black, Big Samir, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, it's our pleasure.
So what I wanted to talk to you about is, well, first of all, the amazing career that you have and that you're building, talking about some of those accomplishments. But what I wanted to ask you to start with is, you've come together in such amazing ways, coming together in love and community and family. And this goes back a decade plus.
Right.
I would love to know how you first stumbled across each other. I mean, we're talking about from Brussels to Queens to Colorado.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, we moved here the same the summer of 98. So we moved here at the same time. And my stepfather was in the Air Force. Her father was in the Air Force. So I worked on a military base. So we first crossed paths at the time at my job. I was selling shoes at on Peterson Air Force Base. And from there, it was just off and on. You know, we ran in the same circles. We had the same friends.
And mostly friends that we listened to a lot of music with, friends that right. were really into music right. and the music scene. And so one day, one of my friends said, "You have to come with me to my friend's show. His band is called Acumen, and they're really amazing." And I was like, okay, I'd love to go. And I was visiting from college. I went to college in Florida, at Florida A&M. And I went to the show, and it was his group. So I was like, hey, I met yeah. you, you know. And then we started kind of conversing and being friends. He gave me a copy of their album. And then we would kind of see each other more after that. When I was finished with college, I moved back. And we started to hang out a lot more. And listen to music always. So the mm-hmm. foundation of our relationship was always music. Mm-hmm.
So here you are together, music lovers, good friends. When did the writing together thing come up? Did you bring that to the table too, Asia? I mean, you talk about listening to music.
Yeah.
But did you have some lyrics tucked away in a notebook as well?
Well, when I was in college, I was recording with a group called People's Choice, a guy called Jay Space and a guy named Yayo. And that was my first foray into recording music. Because before I'd always just kind of been a singer and an avid listener, but I had never recorded myself before. And I went into this competition, BET came to our school, and they had kind of a singing competition, and it was televised on BET. So my friends kind of pushed me up. I was wearing my softball uniform because I played softball in college. And they pushed me up and I started singing. And then I got home and there was a message on my phone and Samir said, "I saw you on TV singing today." So when I came home for Christmas, he said, "We should do a song together."
Well, we shared music. You know, she had a couple songs recorded, and then I had a couple albums. And I remember specifically at the time when I used to get together with the guys, we used to freestyle a lot, meaning mm-hmm. just come up with music, or someone would have some music playing and we would create songs. And it was one night, Asia and I and a couple other friends were at a party, and we were like, "Oh, let's freestyle." And Asia was like, "Nah, not really. I don't really do this kind of stuff. I'm not used to doing this." And when she finally did, I remember saying, "Wait a minute, you're a lot better than 90% of the people that I'm around." And that's when, you know, I always knew she sang and she rapped, but when she did it off on the fly and it was better than your everyday thing, I was like, "You need to take this a little more seriously than just a hobby."
When we started to collaborate, I was a very shy performer initially. Very different from now. Very, very shy to showcase my talent in any way, in any kind of intimate setting. He really pushed me a lot.
And from there, I said, "You know what? Let's make some music. You know, whether it's just one song."
Of course, I said, "No, I really."
Right, right. She felt intimidated for some reason. And so we went into the studio and recorded the song "Fight Back" from Recollect.
The pure source of information. Stay true, honest, and patient. My way of living's finally in the right direction. I've been through the worst and learned from the best. You put to the test in order to be blessed. After all this stress, will come happiness. We stick together, stand strong, forgetting that we oppressed.
Some heroes just live to fight in wars that won't end, and some heroes fight the same battles again and again.
And that was the very first song we ever collaborated on together. And then Overstand was the second one. And then it just, you know, from there, you know, we started to become a couple. And so we spent a lot more time together. And then we were in the same house. So,
and Samir was recording these tracks for an album called The Reminder. That was what his name, his
because I was transitioning from being in a group to becoming a, not necessarily solo artist, but just doing more stuff by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was sort of a natural transition.
So there. He'd be writing songs and I'd sit there and say, "Maybe you could say it like this, or maybe whoever sings the hook can sing it like this." And he said, "Well, why don't you just
sing
do
the
it?
Hook, right?"
I do it for the right reasons. Fight back to get my people out in prisons. I do it for the right reasons. Strive hard to get my people out in prisons.
Wow, and there is the there birth is. Of the reminder.
So it was never, hey, we're going to sit down, we're going to be this couple that makes music and that, you know what I mean? There was never something planned like that.
But then there it is. That gets the wheels going. Yep. Yeah. Now you're together. Now we've got children too. Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty busy time. It's being a couple. It's writing music together. It's building up to a record. The writing process and the production of a record. Where does your DJ? Where does your spin master come in? When did you start introducing, you know, that next level?
DJ Lazy Eyes, he lives in Denver, but he's originally from Colorado Springs. He went to Watson High School. He was the school president. A lot of his friends always love to tell me that. Like, he was the school president. he used to run a radio show in Boulder when he went to college in Boulder called Basementalism.
And
1190 AM is what it is.
Oh, that's a good station.
And so
I know that station.
We used to always go up there and play music and do little interviews. And he would invite us to do little jams, little shows in Boulder. And we slowly started to incorporate him in the
live. When we did those shows, he would spin for us.
Mm-hmm.
So then we were booking shows, or he'd be booking a show that he had a DJ set on. And like, for example, once he booked a Mos Def show, and he said, they gave me a set.
We were at the
Mos Def show in Atlanta. And he said, hey, he called. He said, I have a Mos Def show in Boulder.
Next week.
I have a DJ set, but instead of, you know, just me DJing, would you guys come and perform? And so we kind of started.
And at the time, Mos Def was our favorite artist.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my
so
God.
I was like, yes, please.
Now, Asia, were you to the point at this point where that wasn't an overwhelming thought? Or maybe for both of you, Samir, when you think about somebody like Mos Def and you're going to be in the presence of this person and performing ahead, how do you push past that starry-eyed thing and get down to the business
of
it?
Well, Samir never really had that trait, like, since I've met him, maybe before we became a group or a couple or either, where he gets starstruck. Samir feels like, and it's an opinion that I've adapted myself because it makes me feel very confident, when we're in a realm of music where we're at a performance, we're all peers at that moment. So our primary focus is the performance and everything else is secondary. So even though I'd be so excited, he'd really check that really fast and say, this person is your peer. Like, you may look at this person as though they're above you, but we're aspiring to be where he is. We're not aspiring to be who he is, and to remember that.
I want to get on to Born Champions because, oh my goodness, what a fantastic record. And Recollect being such a good record, but boy, it raised the ante. The songwriting, the performance, the production, that is a record I've played a lot. I've, you know, sent it to my sister, my brothers, want to tell people about it, make sure it's stocked at independent records.
So it is.
Okay. Where did that come from?
It's interesting because lately I've been coming across people who like Recollect over Born Champions. And there are times where I'm torn in between the two. I think Recollect, we came from a place where we were really pouring our hearts into every single thing. That was every song we have recorded within 2 years, right? Or something like that, 2 or 3 years. Every single song we recorded within that time frame, and we put it all on one album. Now, Born Champions was more calculated. You know, like, okay, we're going to make an album that has a concept and a theme behind it. And I think we really tapped into more storytelling, more just a lot of different things, and not just so much rapping. Crossfader, bang on a level much greater. It's a new day, you get taken out like a dictator. Only deal with the real, no time for imitators. Take the best out of life, leave the rest to your haters. We're shooting for the stars, better bring the big guns out. I hope you ain't scared of the stars when the lights go out. I want to ask you guys, I'm very interested, the music you grew up with, what was spinning in your house when you were a little one? What was the one that made you stop and just like stare off and go, whoa,
is
that?
My dad's like a big jazz fan, but he also loves, I was named after the Steely Dan album, Asia.
Oh.
So when my mom gave birth to me, my dad was in the Air Force, so he was away, and she called him and said, I had the baby, it's a girl, what should we name her? And he was listening to that song on that album. you know? So he's like, Asia? My mom's like, okay, perfect, I love it. So that's how I was named. My dad's really into Steely Dan. He loved Steel Pulse. My dad would listen to Courtney Pine. He would expose us to a lot of different jazz. My dad went to the North Sea Jazz Festival every year when we lived in Europe. And then my mom is kind of like, my mom loves James Brown and Donna Summer. My mom, you know, she's a Studio 54 kid, so she'd play David Bowie and tell me the story of Ziggy Stardust first. And, like, my mom was really into glam rock, so I loved Queen as a child. They just exposed it to so much. And then as far as hip-hop's concerned, my parents are big hip-hop fans too. So my mom loves Ice Cube.
I can't believe today was a good day.
Like, my and it said, like, my mom loves Ice Cube, but my dad is a big fan of Chaos. My dad put me on to Tribe Called Quest.
Oh,
my brother was a big hip-hop fan too. So, you know, all of that, it's kind of like music was... was the thriving force in our house.
I grew up in, from the time I was 4 till 8, I grew up in Central Africa in the Congo. So the pop music I listened to was like Michael Jackson.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, you gotta include Michael
Jackson.
You
gotta get Michael Jackson.
But moving back to Belgium in the late 80s, my mom used to listen to a lot of R&B. So a lot of Teddy Riley guy, people like that. The first CD I ever learned to play was Tony, Tony, Tony. And I remember daydreaming about that experience in class. Like, I put it in, I press close, I press play. You know what I mean? But, you know, we listened to a variety, everything from reggae to R&B to classic rock and,
Everything.
Everything.
So what's going on in your house now? You've got children.
Oh, man.
They have their say, and I know
they're
this.
They're the ones who set the standards of what's going
to
be played.
At first it was funny because when our daughters were going to school, the artists that they loved were artists like that we loved. So they had, like, the kids, they'd say, you know, little girls would ask my daughter, who do you like? Do you like Justin Bieber? And my daughter's like, well, I love Michael Jackson, and I really love Tupac, and she just, like, and my, I'm like, Sting's, like, biggest fan. I love Sting, and I love
the police,
Sting. And I have, like, a huge collect, like, most of my iTunes has Sting songs on it. And my daughter's like, you know, I really love Sting, and we love Bob Marley. Sting and Bob Marley, like, my favorite.
How about you? Any unexpected surprises or guilty pleasures, Samir?
Oh,
we like
God,
pop,
me?
We like pop music.
Yeah, I have a lot of guilty pleasures.
A lot.
But I mean, especially now, the kids will come home. Like, 2-3 years ago, they will come home and say, the kids in my class like Justin Bieber, but I have no idea who that is. You know what I mean? And so just to keep them aware, like, we'll introduce them to it. And I tell them, like, if you like it, you like it. It's music. You know what I mean? If it's a good song,
it's
it is
outside
what it
of
is.
Us now. Songs come on the radio and they're singing along. We're like, we don't
know.
Yeah,
there are songs. I mean, you know, my son knows Flo Rida songs. He knows, you know, and I'm like, where do you hear this stuff?
When we tour and they're with our, you know, when they're with my family, my mom and my sister, you know, they expose them to things, but we really love Stromae.
Yeah,
he's an artist from Brussels. Incredible.
Oh, man,
you would love him.
Okay,
artist.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. Stromae. And then there's Willie William. We listen to I Love Sia. Party girls, don't get hurt, can't feel anything. When will I learn? I push it down,
push it down. Oh, yeah.
I love Sia. I love Sia's, you know, pop records, but also a lot of the old stuff that she recorded. I just think she has an incredible voice, an incredible insight, and I've kind of been obsessing over Sia the past 2 days. I love this group called Sylvan Esso.
Oh, yeah. Heavy rotation.
I love Sylvan Esso.
Heavy rotation here at KRCC. I'm covered in soot. We're running for God to lose. Hey, wait, I'm again. So what does this mean for the future of the Reminders? All this creativity, all this absorbing of people that you listen to and that you see. What's up next? I know you've got a bunch of music in your mind that'll spill out on record soon, I hope.
Yeah.
But any traveling or tours ahead of you? I mean, lots of people enjoy working with you.
We actually do have a small run with Hieroglyphics coming up in March. We have South by Southwest coming up. And we've actually been doing a lot of work on new music with, we've worked with some EDM DJs from Denver, and we've come up with some really incredible stuff. Yeah. We're getting a little bit of reggae production.
And we've released a remix to If You Didn't Know. We have a remix to the song If You Didn't Know. It's almost like a dance.
Yeah, it's with an EDM DJ called Defunk. And that song's kind of blown up right now. Within a week, it had 50,000 plays on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
If you didn't know nothing, now you know what's good. You gotta get that popping in your neighborhood.
Well, Reminders, I can't thank you enough. Asia Black, Big Samir, your beautiful family, sharing all this time with us, telling us such amazing stories in your music, and just sitting around talking. It's been such a pleasure. I thank you so much for that.
Pleasure is all ours.
Keep sending that music our way, all right?
We will.
Absolutely.
All right.
That was Vicky Gregor speaking with Colorado Springs hip-hop group The Reminders. To hear that interview again, head to krcc.org. We hope you've enjoyed the first installment of Air Check from KRCC. The show is produced by me, Jake Brownell. To learn more about any of the music or artists that you heard on this show, head to krcc.org. For Air Check and KRCC, I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicky Gregor.
And I'm Jeff Beery.